Chapter 35. Andrew. As Peter followed the Simons out of the church, he looked around for Andrew. While he assumed that his brother had left already, there was still a slight chance Andrew could be somewhere inside. Maybe a few of his members had wanted to talk to him privately. Perhaps the noise of the crowd had driven him to another room. The debate had given rise to strong emotions, and Peter longed to talk to everyone in his family as soon as possible, but especially Andrew. He hoped they all saw the issues as clearly as he did. However, since all the lights had been turned off in the main hall and everyone had left, Peter reluctantly climbed into the Simons' car. With one last wistful gaze, he looked around the dimly lit parking lot. Only three vehicles remained, and none of them was Andrew's. However, when Craig drove out of the parking lot and onto the road, Beth suddenly called out, "Isn't that Andrew's van behind the church?" It was. "So Andrew's still there," Peter exclaimed. "Craig, do you mind giving me the chance to say goodbye?"
"Not at all,"
Craig replied, turning around in the first driveway they came to and heading back to the church. "I sure hope you can find him," he said, as Peter quickly opened the car door and jumped out. Thankfully, the church was still unlocked, and Peter ran in without difficulty. Most of the large building was now in darkness, with only a few emergency lights shining here and there. Peter wasn't familiar with the layout, but he guessed that down one of the long hallways, Andrew might have some sort of an office, only he couldn't find one. All the doors were locked, every window was dark, and none of them looked like an office. But there was another level. Maybe Andrew was upstairs. Peter ran back to the foyer and raced up the stairs. Sure enough, down the hallway, lights spilled out from the window of a closed door. As Peter drew closer, he could see through the beveled glass that someone was pacing back and forth distractedly. It had to be Andrew. The small gold sign on the door spelled out, "Pastor Andrew Bryant." For a few moments, Peter hesitated. He took a deep breath. The decorative distortions of the glass marred the moving image behind them, but judging from the quick pace, Peter could tell that his brother was very upset. Was it best to go in now? Perhaps Andrew needed to calm down before they met face to face. But then again, if Andrew was upset, maybe he needed to talk. Peter knocked. Andrew opened the door. "Andrew, I just wanted..." Peter stopped mid-sentence. His brother's face was so pale and full of anxiety that Peter was taken aback. "Are you okay?" he asked gently.
"No, I'm not," Andrew lamented, shaking his head in distress. "I can't believe I haven't seen this for myself. I should have investigated the subject more thoroughly, but I was so sure I was right."
Instinctively, Peter laid his hand on his brother's shoulder, but he didn't know what to say. Andrew's words tumbled out. "So many people have trusted me, and I've only ever wanted to bring them to God, but have I been leading them all the wrong way?" Peter was amazed. Had the debate really opened Andrew's eyes? Andrew was unable to stand still. Grabbing Craig's hand out from off his desk, he paced back and forth in agitation. "I can't believe this," he stated in dismay. "What Craig has laid out here fits so perfectly, every part of it. How come all these years I've never seen this for myself? And why didn't God stop me long ago if I was preaching something that wasn't true?" Peter didn't reply. He could see that Andrew needed to vent. "And it seems to me that there are some serious implications to this," Andrew fretted as he stormed about. "A mother church? Harlot daughters? What's that all about? And whatever is this strange teaching that denies Jesus came in the flesh? And how does it relate to the Roman Catholic Church?"
"Peter," Andrew demanded suddenly, turning to face his brother with great intensity in his bright blue eyes, "what do you know about this? Tell me. Was Craig inferring that my church is one of the harlot daughters?"
Peter was about to answer, only Andrew continued on. "But what then is the mark of the beast? Or the number 666? Pete, I'm so confused. How am I ever going to answer all the questions people will now be asking? And when will I ever find time to sort it all through?" There was a lot of despair in Andrew's last statement, and Peter stepped forward to hold his brother's arms firmly. "Andrew," he said. "Andrew, one thing at a time. God has just opened a door for you. He hasn't closed it. Trust him."
"What? What did you say?"
Andrew asked desperately. Peter could hardly contain the joy that was welling up inside. While the debate had left Andrew reeling from shock, Peter was elated to see that his brother was now open to reason. "Andrew, God has just opened a door for you," he repeated with a smile. "He's allowed you to see truth, his truth. That's a great blessing.
Just admit to everyone in your church that you don't have all the answers right now. Surely they'll understand that you need some time for personal study. Do you have any idea how difficult it will be to do that?
What, admitting you don't have all the answers?
Yes. How can I explain to so many people that something I've publicly proclaimed all these years and openly debated tonight is actually wrong? And Pete, I'm not sure anyone in this church is willing to accept what Craig said tonight, however clear it may be. We fully endorse the ecumenical movement, and this flies in the face of all that.
Andrew groaned and shook his head.
It's so much easier to paint a picture of some future tyrant, he mumbled, than point a finger at a well-respected organization that already exists. For a moment or two there was silence, but then with perplexity, Peter blurted out,
But you've got to speak the truth.
Yes, obviously that's very important, Andrew replied defensively. I've always tried to proclaim God's truth. This church wouldn't be so successful if I only gave my own opinion, and all along I've been so sure God was blessing me. Until now.
Then carry on, Peter encouraged.
As God reveals truth to you through his word, pass it on, regardless of the consequences.
Andrew sat down with a heavy sigh in his office chair. He rested his face in his hands.
You don't understand, he moaned. It's not that simple. Pulling a chair up beside him, Peter faced his brother. Now that he'd overcome his initial astonishment, he was beginning to think more clearly.
Andrew, something's not right here, he remarked candidly. You're in a position of incredible responsibility, trying to lead all these people to God, and yet you don't have the time to ensure that you're telling everyone the truth. Not only that, but people are blindly following you rather than studying the Bible for themselves. I know you became a pastor because you wanted to give your life to God and serve him faithfully, so nothing could be more important than getting this right. Surely you could ask for a few months off.
It's not that easy, Andrew argued. Finding a good replacement can be very difficult and, well, I probably wouldn't get paid if I took time off. The church funds are already stretched to their limit.
A minute later, in a very quiet voice, Andrew added, Don't you see, Pete? This is going to cost me my job.
Peter didn't reply right away.
Never before had he counseled his older brother in matters of faith, and he felt rather inadequate to the task. Yet he remembered that somewhere in the Bible there is a promise that those who put God first will be provided for. They might have to make do with less or lose worldly status or possessions, but ultimately God will provide. Peter thought back on Thomas's decision to move out east without a job, and then he remembered what Cara Lovell had said to him in the car.
Andrew, he said hesitantly, isn't there a passage that says something like, Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you? Finished Andrew with a sigh. Easy enough to memorize in Sunday school, he murmured, but much harder to live. Peter felt he had said enough. He could see that his brother was deep in thought, and he respected his ability to sort through the dilemma. However, he was most surprised several minutes later when Andrew remarked thoughtfully,
Maybe I'm in this position for what I can do now.
Maybe you are, Peter considered. This was a new thought for him. It was certainly obvious tonight that you have the love and respect of many people. There was a pause as they both pondered the matter. Then Peter laid his hand on his brother's arm. You know, Andrew, he smiled kindly, I don't think you'll lose any respect by admitting you've been wrong. Most people appreciate such courage and honesty.
Perhaps, Andrew considered, running his hands through his hair anxiously, but I'm not ready to do that yet. I do want to make sure I understand this completely before I start influencing anyone else. Looking directly at Peter, Andrew spoke in a pleading manner. Please, don't tell anyone what I've told you tonight, until I say you can, not even Mum or Dad or James, he added firmly.
Give me time.
All right, Peter agreed reluctantly. It would be hard to keep such good news to himself, but he could appreciate the reasons for such a request.
Let's pray about this, Andrew suggested.
When Peter bowed his head, Andrew prayed that God would guide them both to his saving truth and help them escape the strong delusion. In his prayer, he expressed his regret for leading others astray and asked that God would help him to love the truth more than anything or anyone else.
And please, Lord, Andrew begged sincerely, give me the courage to bring glory and honor to your name, even if people turn against me.
Listening to his brother's prayer, Peter realized how sincere Andrew was in his desire to serve God. It reaffirmed his confidence that his brother was an honest man who would do whatever he could to search the matter out.
After the prayer was over, they both agreed it was time to go home. With his Bible tucked under his arm, Andrew turned out the office light, and then he extended his hand to his brother. "Pete, thanks so much for coming up here. I was desperate to talk to someone who would understand." They shook hands firmly. Then Andrew took a deep breath and said, "I'm sorry for the way I've been towards your friends, Pete. But you see, until tonight, I thought they were the deceivers." Peter nodded soberly as his brother's words sank in. It was easy to recall the dark, murky look that had been in his brother's eyes not so long ago. But if Andrew had truly felt that Craig and Thomas were deceivers, then it was surprising to Peter that he hadn't acted in a harsher way. Peter threw his arms around his older brother and embraced him. Andrew was a special person, and Peter was very proud of him. Andrew returned the affection heartily. It felt so good to have come to this understanding. There were still plenty of issues to investigate, many potential struggles ahead, but for the moment they were happy to be brothers. Brothers who loved each other deeply and ultimately wanted only the best for one another.